Welcome to another edition of the Exponential Podcast. I'm Todd Wilson, Director of Exponential. We're thrilled you're taking advantage of this free resource that was recorded at the Exponential Conference. It's part of a library of hundreds of hours of free training. In our mission to equip church planning leaders, we seek to distribute as many free resources as possible. Visit exponential.org to learn more and to check out the programming for the upcoming Exponential Conference.
Okay, so we're going to begin. You guys ready to go? 8:45 a.m.?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys, most of you from the West Coast? Anybody from the East Coast? No? West? Midwest?
Midwest, Nebraska.
Nebraska? All right.
11 a.m.
It's 11 a.m. All right, that's good. I'm actually from Ohio, near Cleveland, Ohio. I'm with a company called Rocket Republic. My wife and I founded a company. We started it. In fact, they'll be walking over here. My wife and my two girls. They went to get, I think, sunglasses because it was a little bright. So we run a design studio called Rocket Republic, and it's a really small boutique firm design studio. But we do a lot of work with just church plants, churches. We do a ton of work with like networks and organizations. So we do a lot of stuff with Exponential, the Gospel Coalition, the Verge Network. We worked with Matt and Lauren Chandler, Jeff Vanderstelt with the Saturate stuff, Soma. We just launched the Acts 29 Global website. So we do stuff with Acts 29. Southern Baptist, so North American Mission Board, Converge. I mean, there's a whole list of people that we work with. So that just kind of gives you a little bit of a orientation of kind of who we are. We deal primarily with website design, with branding, with marketing, and we kind of pull the whole thing together for clients, for organizations, and stuff like that. So we've been doing this a while. We also started a church about 10 years ago. So, you know, on top of that, you know, just threw in this little thing called church planning, right? So we've just done a ton of this stuff, and I am super excited to talk to you guys today and really help you guys come up with like a good strategy and a good game plan for some solid branding, solid marketing, coming up with a good plan and making it all happen. And by the way, do you guys, I don't know if you want to move over there, are you good in the sun? There's also, you know, seems like these guys aren't having as bad of a problem there with the sun. That might be a little more helpful. So, you know, just trying to have a, okay. So the first question, and this is probably one of the big questions, is what is branding? All right. That's kind of the first place that we're going to start. A lot of people think of brand equals logo, and that's not really the case. Really, your logo is part of it. But your logo is only one piece of it. So when it comes to branding, there's a ton of things that come together to communicate. So you have everything from your logo to your colors, to the font choices that you make. So your main fonts, your web presence, your website, your print production, all of this stuff comes together to communicate who you are to the people that you're trying to connect with. Okay, so with branding, the big thing is to not think about it as like a logo, but to begin to think about it in a holistic context, okay? Because all of this stuff comes together to begin to express to people and to show people who you are and what you're about, okay? So a lot of times people make the mistake of just thinking that brand is logo, and they forget that they're communicating with a ton of different things, and it's important to think about it holistically and how all of this stuff comes together to explain who you are to the people that you're trying to connect with, okay? So the reason that branding is so important is because it is your first communication to people. It's the first thing that people are going to connect with. It is the first point of contact with people. And it's so important because, before they hear your message, they catch your vibe, okay? They catch a drift of kind of what you're doing, what you're about. You're communicating with them with your promo before they're ever listening to you know, to a sermon, to before they're ever coming to your gathering, before they're ever meeting your people, before they're, you know, they're connecting with they're connecting with your brand and with a lot of these different brand elements. Okay, so the reason why it's so important is because it's the first impression that people are going to take away, and it's your first point of being able to begin to tell the story of who you are and what you're about, and more importantly, the story of who God is and what He's about. Right. So that's why it's just so incredibly important to make sure that first point of communication, you're able to get off on the right foot. And here's the thing with branding, you know, when you're having a conversation with somebody, a lot of times how you say it is almost more important than what you say. You know what I mean? Like if you say thing, you can say the same exact thing, but with different body language and different with a different you know, tone to it, and that completely affects everything of what you're saying. And that's exactly what branding is. Branding is almost like the nonverbal communication. It's the visual nonverbal communication of communication, right? It's the thing that people they connect with. And so, it's really important that you be sort of set the right tone for what you're doing. Think about it holistically, right? So does that make sense so far? Okay. And by the way, we are going to have, we'll probably have a time for questions at the end. So, if you're thinking about questions throughout, you know, just, make a mental note or write them down, and I'll try to, answer questions and even stick around afterwards if you've got more questions. Okay. So, and by the way, thank you guys for coming today. I'm really excited that you're here. This is great, and it's, you know, it's early in the morning, so I'm just so glad to see. I'm glad that you guys are here. Okay, so the mark, what I would say the mark of good branding is, there's four sort of elements of what I think go into kind of a mark of good branding. Good branding and marketing is clear. These are all C words too, just kind of worked out that way. Clear, concise, compelling, and then the fourth one is, and sometimes more, the most important thing is consistent. Okay, it's consistent. It needs to be clear. You need to, people need to know like who you are, what you're about. But a lot of times when people start thinking, I need to be clear, they start. They start rambling on with multiple paragraphs. That's not necessarily the best thing, because you know, the second thing is concise. And so a lot of times what you want to do is you really want to pare down a lot of what you're talking about to smaller, more bite-sized elements and pieces, because most people scan things anyway. Very few people read paragraphs these days anyway. You know, they'll slow down if they find something that they're really interested in, but you just got to understand that when it comes to your print, your web, all of that stuff, even your logo, like, just make it like super scannable, almost like bullet points, not like paragraphs. You know, that's one of the big things that people run into all the time, is we're going to do like a poster, like a print campaign, and they'll give me like a page of like wording, and I'm just like, whoa, hold up. Like, let's do a sentence, you know, like, let's back that paragraph up and let's just do a sentence here. Okay. So make sure it's clear, it's concise, it's got to be compelling. You know, that's why it's so important to have like great imagery and great visuals, because it needs to be compelling that people can connect with the story, and they can feel it, they can see it, you know, they connect with it. So it's compelling, and probably the most important thing, and the thing where people get off, they really kind of mess up the most, is consistency. And so what happens is there's people touching the different brand elements, and they, you know, different, you know, designers or different people that are working on it, just becomes very inconsistent across the board. Okay. So what I want to do from here, I'm going to give you a couple things real quick. What I believe are, three quick, top things that you should do to set your church up for success in building a great identity. Okay, so these are three things I think you should really do in setting yourself up for building a great identity. And on the third one, The first two are a little shorter. The third one, we're actually going to unpack the third one and go drive a little bit deeper into it, because it's sort of the it's a lot of the meat of kind of how to build that campaign. Does that make sense? So so the very first thing is top things that you can do to set your church up for success long term is build long-term relationships with creative professionals. Okay? This is really important. Most people don't think about building a long-term relationship with a creative professional. And the reason that this is so important is because if you start thinking about long-term, what you can begin to do is establish relationships with people, and they can help keep all of your stuff consistent, you know, because they're the ones that are, you know, they're the ones that are doing it. And if they keep their hands on it throughout the whole process, what happens is, like, there's just a nice level of consistency. Okay. So one of the things I love doing, we work all the time with, like, churches, organizations, different people that we'll do branding for them. And then we'll do a site. And the cool thing is we'll have, like, a long time. I mean, there's clients that have been, I've had for years, and they just come back to me every, you know, quarter or so, and they're like, hey, we need to do this, or we need to, you know, we're needing to do some stuff at a trade show. We need a trade show backdrop, or we need, like, sermon series slide, or we need, like, we're doing, like, campaign X. And it's like, okay, I've got your stuff. I know exactly what your vibe is. I'm, you know, part of it is, like, we created it to begin with, so I kind of know where they're coming from. And the cool thing is it just keeps it consistent. So what is really good for you to start thinking about is to build long-term relationships with creative professionals, okay? I think this is a really good thing to think about on the front end. Number two is aim high, okay? This stuff you are going to be with for a long time. You're going to be using these fonts and this logo for years, okay? Aim high. Don't just go after the bottom of the barrel of, like, somebody's neighbor's friend has a cousin who lives in her mom's basement who can type you out a logo in Microsoft Word. Like, don't do that, because it will just not be good for you, okay? So aim high. And here's one of the things that I would recommend doing. If I was starting another church, right? One of the very first things I would do in my city is I would look up the best, hands down best photographer that is in the whole city. Somebody who's got an eye for documentary style photography, and I would pay them whatever they ask to come document, the church, the core team, the build, like, have them tell your story, because these visuals are so incredibly important. You'll be able to use these photos for, you'll be able to use them for years. These photos are so important, because what they do is they give personality, they give humanity to what you're doing. They tell your story. And what's great is if you get, like, a really good, aim high, get the best person in your city to come out and shoot, document the process, take these stories. And I'm telling you what, that will reap tons of benefits. And, you will just reap so much from having these photos long term. You'll be able to use it for raising a core team, for helping them see the story. You'll be able to use it for raising financing and funding from donors and things like that, because they're going to see who you are and what you're doing. Don't just have somebody, you know, come out and, I mean, sometimes, like, you, so if somebody really knows what they're doing with an iPhone, you can grab you can grab some nice photos. You know, obviously you see the billboards, I mean, but those are professional photographers, really good lighting. That's part of what they don't show you. Don't just have, like, you know, somebody, oh, I'll snap a couple photos at your, you know, whatever. Like, have, aim high, have somebody come out, document, and you're going to be set up for a long time. Get photos, and the really good person, documentary style photography, that's what you want to do. Make sense? Aim high, all right? High. All right. Number three, and this is the thing that this is what we're going to unpack for the rest of the time, is have a written marketing plan. Okay, so write it out. Like, actually write it out, because there's so many people they have sort of an idea inside of their head, well, I think I'd probably maybe do this or that, but they haven't really written it out. And so part of that is when you don't write it out, you can't come back to it, you can't measure it, you can't come back to it in a little while and see what's working and what's not working, right? So create a written marketing plan, plan for branding and marketing, and then come back to it every quarter, every 6 months, because that's super important. You got to keep coming back to it and say, hey, what's working, what's not working, is this is this effective, is this not effective, okay? So does that make sense? Like getting a working plan, okay? So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go through these like 5 steps of how to create a plan, okay? And I hope this is super practical for you. I'm telling you, this stuff really does work, okay? Like, I mean, we've just worked with so many different people. These are really the things that you got to do to get a good plan in place. Okay, so the very first thing, this is super important. Number one, establish a written profile of your church. Okay, this is where it all begins. It's where the whole party begins. Establish a written profile of your church. This is super important because as you work with creative professionals, as you work with the different people that you're going to work with, different volunteers, different people that are going to be coming in to handle your social media, people that are going to be dealing with your website, people that are going to be dealing with these different things, it's so important to have a written profile of who you are. Start there. Begin to define on a page. It doesn't need to be super, it doesn't have to be necessarily a multi-page, huge document, but the cool thing is, as you start defining all of these things out, you can just hand that over to somebody when they, when they're like, okay, so you meet with this photographer and he's like, so tell me a little bit about what you guys are doing, and you can give him sort of the brief and walk him through the brief of who you guys are. So one of the things that we do with all of our clients is when we start the branding process, even for logo development and creating branding guides and that kind of stuff, we've got like a 30 question, questionnaire that we want you to fill out so that we can understand who you are and what you're about. Okay. So, and by the way, I'm going to, in a few days, as soon as we get back everything, from Exponential, I'm going to post on the blog, if you go to rocketrepublic.com, on the blog, I'm going to post all of these branding questions, and there's some other stuff on the blog as well that I think you'd probably find helpful, but I'm going to post these branding questions. I'll give you just a couple of them that can go into your profile that I think are helpful, especially helpful. First question is, please describe your organization in one sentence. It's amazing how verbose people are as they begin to talk about everything that they're doing. And if you can narrow it down to one sentence, it's so helpful because it helps crystallize everything in your mind and in the people that you're working with, their minds. Another one is, what do you organization to be known for? Like, what's that thing that you want to be known for? And this is super important because as we're crafting identity and brand and feel, what other more relevant question could you be asking? I mean, that's the thing that you want to have, make sure that you're communicating with everything you're doing. Like, what do we want to be known for in this community, in this area? Because then you can start crafting something around that. Does that make sense? Next one, how will you judge your organization's success in the next 2 to 5 years? Okay, now that's a big question. I always want to know that. I want to know what you're going to be judging success by so that I can help you get there. Because a lot of times people aren't even thinking, what are we trying to accomplish in the next 2 to 5 years? What's actually going to be the thing that we're doing? Even with like social campaigns, I mean, is it something that you want to get to X amount of, X amount of followers in X amount of time? What is it that you're trying to do? Like, what are you actually trying to do here in the next, couple years, 5 years? Always be thinking, like, how do I know whether or not what I'm doing has been successful? You know, because then at the very beginning, you can start crafting it that way. Okay. So the last question, this is just kind of a couple sample questions, but the last one I put is, what are the top 5 personal values of the people that you're trying to connect with? You know, that's super important because, well, you're trying to connect with them, and like that's part of how you start building your brand is around like those values that people have. So, you know, you really want to know the people that you're connecting with. So, does that make sense? So, the first thing you do is just build a profile of who you are. All right. The second thing, and this is, man, I love this. This is really good. Okay, assemble a digital toolkit. Okay, assemble a digital toolkit. So the first thing you need to do is sign up for Dropbox. If you don't have a Dropbox account, go to dropbox.com and sign up for Dropbox. You get a couple gigs free, and that is going to be super helpful because on your Dropbox account, you can start collecting all of these digital assets into one place. And then when you start working with your creative professional or whoever it is that you're, all these different people or the people that are handling the social media accounts or the people that are handling the website, what you can do is with one little click, you can share that one folder and they get everything. Okay, so you want to start with a Dropbox folder, collect everything into the Dropbox folder, and then boom, share that puppy out with people. Does that make sense? Okay, so in this Dropbox folder, you're probably going to want to have some of the following. The first thing is some text snippets. Okay, what I mean by that is a document of some of the common phrases that you use, some of the common ideas that you have, a description of the church. You want to have some of those core things that you repeat over and over and over again. Why is this important? Well, because when you share that Dropbox with, say, the people that are running like your social media, and they're creating an account for your church, and it says description, they're going to do one of two things. They're going to go to your Dropbox and grab those snippets and just put them in, or they're going to make something up. Okay, now just tell me which one you want to have. Do you want somebody making that stuff up, or do you want to have preset stuff that they can just take then and just adapt the size? And that's so important because, again, what does that begin to create? That creates consistency across the board. It's a consistency of language. It's a consistency of color. So second thing is like your logo. You'll have a logo, your logo in there. And a lot of times with your logo, one of the things that we do with clients is we'll save out the logo in like, you know, a ton of different file types. And so you'll get like a series of, 35 or 40 different actual files of logos. And those are really important because, this is probably going a little bit too in depth, but just as sort of a flyover, the file types really matter because there's certain files like an SVG file or an AI file, like an Illustrator file or an SVG file. That's what's called a vector file, and that's what your printer needs to do like a sign. Like if you're going to blow up your sign, you need a vector file, because if not, if you give them this like little hokey JPEG that was somebody sent in an email from the web, then the problem is you're going to blow it up, and what's going to happen is going to be all pixelated and nasty and granulated, okay? And you don't want that because that just looks absolutely lame, okay? So that's why you want a vector file, okay? So you're going to have these different file types, and some of the different, like the different file types, like a JPEG won't have any transparency in it, but a .png and a .tiff file will have a transparency. So what that means is when, somebody's creating a brochure or doing something for the newsletter, they can grab something with a transparent background, put that on there, and then you don't have that like nasty white box around like your beautiful logo, okay? So that's why what you in this Dropbox, and because a lot of times like people are like, I'm like, hey, where's your logo, or send me your logo, and they're like, well, let me email so-and-so, and they gotta go to like 900 places. Get yourself a digital toolkit, put it all in there and own that. Don't farm that out to somebody else. Control that, have that Dropbox, and then you can send it out. You can send it out to people. Does that make sense? So, the other thing that you want in there is your font. Okay. A lot of times, when you walk through the branding process, one of the things that people will help you do, your designer will help you do, is choose a font. Usually, it'll either just be one single font type, or it will be two. I don't like do probably more than that. Usually, you either just have one font for everything, or you'll have a different font for headings, like something that's a little bit more stylized, and then something that's a little bit more normal for body copy or for just like the paragraphs. Okay, so really you should have those one or two fonts in your Dropbox account that you can share with people. And the reason is because then, you know, when they're making up the newsletters or they're doing all that stuff, what happens is they're like, you know, I don't have, you know, font XYZ, and you're like, well, here's the folder. It has all of our digital assets in it in one place. So, so does that make sense? So you throw that stuff in there, your font. Usually, if you work with a professional designer, you'll usually get a branding guide, and this is super important because this will show you how to use and how not to use your logo, but it will also have color swatches in there, which is really important because it's really, you want to keep your colors consistent. You don't want like one shade over here and one shade over here and a different shade over here. And so what happens is in your branding guide, it gives what's called hex colors for the web. So it's different colors that you'll have for the web that are hex colors. And then it'll give what are called Pantone or PMS colors for print items. And that way you can keep the same color of blue. And it's really important because when you have like when you print out a banner or when you print out like different materials print differently with colors. And so if you give them your PMS color, your Pantone color, then they can match it, and then it's not like, and this is usually when you find out, you're like, oh, we're gonna make a cool welcome center, and you order the different stuff and you bring it up and you set it up, and it's like, okay, this looks weird because it's like these weird shades of you know, color all around. That's why it's good to have your Pantone color. So put all your color swatches in there. And then of course, I would almost say most importantly, put your professional photos in there that you get from your professional photographer. Because then the cool thing is when somebody is doing something for Twitter, setting up your profile, what do they have to work with now? They have all of your text, they have your logo, they have photos, and they can just get to work and stop bugging you, okay? So, which is nice because it keeps it consistent, it keeps it clean, it keeps it clear, it keeps it really nice because you got all your stuff in one place, okay? Does that make sense? So assemble a digital toolkit, that's important. And then number three is build a good online home base, okay? So that really is your website. And if you are a smaller church or if you're a church plant, I would recommend just having a single page landing page. I don't really think that you need like a fully built out, you know, crazy site. Just have something that's really compelling online that people can go to. Because here's the deal: what you're going to want to do, and we'll get to this here in a second, you're going to want to take all of your print, all of your promo, all of the stuff that you're doing when you're marketing and your marketing campaigns, and you're going to want to drive it all to the website. Okay, we almost never put. Unless the church is a little bit more, like really a lot more established, we usually don't put locations or times even on the print promo. Why is that? Because there's so many places where, like especially in church plant land, where, you know, unexpectedly you're not meeting there anymore, or, you know, which happens all the time, and or the times change or something like that. The funny thing is, like, when we started our church, we could almost use the same promo, like, 7 years into it that we used at the beginning, because we funneled everybody toward the website. And the good thing about that is you can track it, okay? So the good thing is you want to start being able to know what's working and what's not working, all that kind of stuff. So you want to drive everybody to the website, so you need to have a really good home base, okay? So again, this is where I think it comes in. It's really key to find good creative web professionals, people that can really help you create something stellar. You know, you can share your little Dropbox with them and they're going to love you and it's going to be awesome. Okay. It's going to be way easier than, you know, what most people do. So create a good online home base. Number four, create several campaigns and experiment. Okay. So this is where it starts getting fun, with connecting with people that are outsiders, okay? And I'm gonna, for a second, I'm gonna talk primarily about like print pieces and print marketing, but you can also Everything from like door hangers to event sponsorships to postering to coffee shop promo to inviter cards to email campaigns, all of that stuff. What I would put is the end action step is to drive them all to the website. So just think about that one thing. Drive everybody to the website and then track your website, okay? So drive everything there. There's a ton of different campaigns and things like that you can do. On these, every single person's area is different. And so you just have to, this could be a whole nother seminar on just like different marketing ideas or, print promotion or print campaign ideas to connect with people that are on the outside. I will say a couple of things that I'm particularly fond of, and one that I want to give you a caution on, okay, when it comes to print stuff. Again, we could talk about this forever, but a couple of things that I think are actually pretty helpful is just giving like little small inviter cards to the people that are part of your team or part of your church, because the cool thing is they could just carry them around with them, make them small so that they just fit in somebody's, pocket or wallet or whatever it is. And the great thing is that when people are relationally inviting people and talking to people about your church community and how they can connect and how, you know, what the story is, you know, they can hand them something small, little takeaway that they can take home, because really what everyone's going to do first is they're going to look at your website. I mean, the reality is they're probably not, even if they know you, they're probably going to look at the site before they really commit to venturing out to be a part of with you. Okay, so those little inviter cards are really helpful to hand out to keep on hand for people to have. The other thing is we do a lot of postering in coffee shops. This is a super great idea, and it's relatively inexpensive, because you can do this is what I would call mini poster. These are the right size. It's 6x9. These are the right size for hanging up in most coffee shops. If you go like large posters, what happens is a lot of times they get tore down pretty quickly. So one of the things that we did is we had a street team of a couple people, and we marked out all of the places across our city, because here's the cool thing. There are a ton of places in your city that you can hang up free promotional stuff. Most every coffee shop in the area has a community bulletin board, and man, you totally need to take advantage of that. Okay, so one of the things that's cool now that we have that I didn't have back then, I wish we would have, but Google, you can make personalized maps. So if you just like Google like personalized Google map, the cool thing is you can create a Google map, and here, listen, this is, I think this is really good. Mark out all of the places in your area that have free spots that you can poster up, or good places. Just get like a street team map. Keep that on Google Docs. And the cool thing is then you can just give that to a couple of people, give them your stack of stuff, and just say, hey, keep this relevant, keep this current, keep going back to these places. Usually, you know, even like places like Panera, at the end of every couple of weeks or every month, they'll remove everything that's on the bulletin board, and so you got to reposter up. Okay, so there's a little bit of work involved, but the thing is, what you see is a lot of people see that stuff, and unlike things like billboards, how many times, like, you know, yeah, you get 50,000 people to drive by, but who pays attention a lot of times to billboards? They just like fly right by them. But when you're in Panera going to the bathroom and you walk by the community bulletin board, it's like, wonder what's going on here. It's like, wonder what treasure I will find here, you know? Like, it's almost more interesting, and it really connects a lot better with people. So you have that little Google map and a stack of flyers. Talk to somebody and say, hey, head this up for us. Make this happen. Here's the Google thing. And when they bail in a year, then you'll be able to just hand it to somebody else, right? Not that that ever happens, but you're setting yourself up for shareability and having it in the long term. Okay, so that's a couple of things I think work really well. One thing that I would say to keep in mind, a lot of people are talking about direct mail, and you're hearing a lot of stuff about direct mailers. One thing I will say on that is be prepared to spend a lot of money over a long term with stuff like that. Okay, I think it's very effective, But usually what happens is people think, well, I'm going to save up all my money. It's like, I'm going to drop, you know, $5,000-$7,000, whatever it is on a, you know, on a direct mail campaign. I mean, direct mail campaigns can, we've done mail campaigns, you know, over $50,000-$60,000. I mean, there's a lot of range on these. And the problem is that you have to do it multiple times. So if you go like big mass communication, as opposed to what this stuff is more like guerrilla marketing. Not like guerrilla, but like guerrilla warfare. You know, it's like the stuff that's more street marketing. It's a lot more inexpensive. The stuff that's more mass communication, you can do it, and there are people that have tons of great success with it. You just have to be prepared to spend a lot of money over a long period of time, okay? Because just throwing out one billboard or one direct mail, you're probably not going to see a whole lot of results. One ad in a magazine, you know, I've done this so many times. I'm like, I just need to save my money and put my ad in this magazine, that you get nothing from it. You know, you just got to do it over a long period of time. So all of that stuff's, and then the fifth one, the final one, is track your results. This is super important because you're gonna, what's fun is you get to see what's working and what's not working, okay? So track your results. A couple of ways to track your results. I'll give you two quick things. One is use your powers of observation, okay? Just pay attention to what you see working and what's not working. Quick story on this. Our first planting, this was, this is one of the first things that we did. We went to this, you're probably going to let, don't hold this against me. This is the big thing in the area was a fair, okay? It's called the Canfield Fair. It was a big, huge thing, thousands of people through this thing, okay? So it's a county fair, and we're like, dude, we need to set up a booth, like just get some of this stuff out in front of people. So we ended up getting a booth and a really good, ended up being like a really good location. And I mean, we pass out tons of stuff. I mean, we pass out like, you know, 10,000-15,000 pieces to, you know, to people coming by. We just like be tossing stuff out. Well, first year I noticed, just powers of observation, we passed this stuff out. I mean, this stuff looked cool. It looked really amazing. It was really good stuff. And we saw at either end of the grandstands, the trash cans were totally full with all of our promo. And that hurt me. You know, I was like, man, you know, like, don't you see? You're throwing away art, people. You know, like, I was like really frustrated. And, you know, we kind of went back to like, well, what do we do to make it to where, you know, they're not throwing away? So one of the things that we did, and this is just an example, this is a Rock and Republic thing, but I don't have the original church ones, but what we did is we took the same promo card and we just put it inside of a cellophane wrapper and stuck a 1-inch pin on it. Okay. Now the interesting thing about that is we handed these things out. I mean, these things like flew out. Everybody wanted one. And the cool thing is at the end of the day, there was almost nothing in the trash cans. Okay. Everybody took them. Everybody like liked it. And so like one of the things that I'm always trying to do is like trying to be useful. So like this is my business card. Okay. This is like a custom printed moleskin notebook that has my information on it. You know, and the reason I did that, you know, we build custom design websites, brands, print, and spacesuits. You know, because the reason that I created these is because my guess is most business cards get trashed, but a really cool, you know, moleskin notebook that you kind of want to write in, that looks good, is going to end up staying around on people's desks. Okay. So using your powers of observation to begin to look at, say, you know, what's working, what's not working. So powers of observation. The second thing is track your results on your website. One of the big things, make sure your website has analytics on it. Okay. So Google Analytics is really good, really great. The other thing, if you really want to get crazy with your, with understand how people are interacting with your page, there's a couple of services. One's called Crazy Egg. The other one's called Hotjar. And you can install those on your site, and they're wild. They give heat maps of where people are on your page, and they'll show like heat maps of where all of the clicks are and how far people are scrolling down the page. And I mean, it's just wild because you're like, that is so wow, you know, like, and it gives you insights. It challenges a lot of your thoughts and it confirms some of your thoughts. I mean, one of the things that you see over and over again, especially with church sites, is number one clicked thing, hands down, on every single site, very number one thing, is the staff page. Everybody wants to see the staff. They want to see the mug of the person that they are going to be going to their church. I don't know. I mean, I guess I know why it is, but like, you, when you see the actual physical results of how many people are clicking on that, then what you probably should start thinking is, maybe I should hire the best creative professional photographer I can find to make sure that this nasty mug looks good. You know what I mean? Like, and that's, they can do amazing things with Photoshop, right? You got to make sure that, you know, that profile looks good, because you look at the data and you start seeing everybody's clicking on it. Okay, so one of the best things that you can do is begin to track the results, see all the stuff that's coming in, and know how to to track all that stuff. So kind of in review, to sort of pull all this stuff together, I would say, you know, the first thing you need to do is to create a good profile of who you are as a church. Get that solid. Create a digital toolkit to kind of pull all those resources together, pull them all into the same place. The third thing is after you get all those pieces, create a good online home base. Then you start experimenting, driving people to the home base, and then you sit back and you track the results, and you come back to that every quarter or 6 months, and boom, that's how you do it. So that's all five. That's everything wrapped up, and that should set you up for good success in branding and marketing. So, does that make sense? Yay, good. So, what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna have my lovely assistant, Ella, this is my daughter, this is my two girls, pass out some stuff. I've got a couple of things just to show you real quick. One is, we started a new stock photography thing for churches. This stuff that's it's real, it's raw, it's curated, and the best part is it's free. Okay, so this is really good stuff for churches. Go on there, sign up on the email list, follow us on Twitter as well. You can get updates. So she's gonna hand out some of this, some Rocket Republic stuff. We've got a whole bunch of shirts. You can throw those out to whoever wants a shirt. Anybody want a shirt? Anyone? Okay. Here. One at a time, just throw them out. I think Willow can probably throw one out too. We'll let her. Okay. Hey. All right. All right. Go ahead. Who wants one? There we go. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He's too cool to ask.
Yeah. Okay. All right, good. Here, you can hand these out. Just, yeah, there you go. And I've got some Rocket stickers and some of the inviter cards and buttons up here if you want to come up and grab those. I've also got some samples of just one thing that we did for a church that kind of kept a lot of the stuff consistent. So with all that, I will say, who has questions? We're technically out of time, but I will go as long as you want to go. So you're free to do whatever. I'll take questions. Dude, rebranding is really good, because what you want to do is you just want to hit it hard and hit it all at one time. Okay, so when you rebrand, change everything. You know, change it, make a big splash about it. I mean, sometimes if you've had it for years and years and years, try to do something that gives a little hint to what you had done before, so that you create a little bit of consistency. But like, my thought is, when you rebrand, you know, rebrand the whole thing and come out swinging with, like, rebrand, do the website, do everything, and then launch it on a particular day, and then just own it. So that's what I do on a rebrand. Yes. I think it's always good to have something to leave behind, you know, to give people. I always like, yeah, I mean, I like doing that. I like to do like letterpress business cards as well, that like actually like punches the logos and the stuff into the cards, or like something kind of with like unique whatever, just to leave behind, you know, just because I don't know, it just makes it a little bit more memorable, and like people end up wanting to keep it around. I think everybody should have something to leave behind. That's what I think, you know. So, yeah. No, yeah, that's a great question. I usually push everybody back to, I use the website as the content holder and use all of those channels as feeders into that main channel. So, for example, what I would do is I would put a blog post on my site, so on rocketrepublic.com, but then what I'll do is on Twitter and Facebook, I'll link back to my site so that it drives the traffic back to my site and I'm not just dependent on the social network. I'm using the social network to point it back to the site so that they can ultimately get more information. I mean, sometimes you're pointing it out, but a lot of times just the thing that I try to do is I try to pull everything into the site and, because it doesn't hurt. Either way, you're still on Facebook, you're still on Twitter, but the added benefit is you're pushing them back to your website. Very true. Yeah, because that's one distinction I didn't make is that I'm primarily doing this talking about connection with outsiders, you know, which I think it probably should be, it's a whole different conversation of like internal communication, but this is at least promoting and getting it out there. So, yes. Yeah, there's quite a few places to pull stuff from. The nice thing about using local printers is you kind of get to know, local people. But there are, really, if you just Google it, there's a ton of places. We have about 25 different vendors that we use online. And so, there's a ton of stuff online. So you, like, the benefit of doing local is that you get to know the people. So you just kind of have to play around with that and see what stuff is better locally versus, price-wise and just, yeah. So that's what I would do.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yes.
I have a question.
It's a great question. It's funny because that was the second question that was asked in the first time we did this yesterday. That was a main question that was asked, and a lot of people were wondering that. So here's what I would do, because we've worked with a lot of churches that the larger the church, the more ministries that they have, the more fragmentation that happens across the brand. What I would say is keep the branding consistent. I don't like to, I think that usually when individual ministries start branding themselves, it begins to sort of take away from the overall emphasis of what the overall church is doing. And to be honest, most of the stuff that they do, a lot of times it's just inconsistent. So it's not like the professional designer that's designing that. So you have these like kind of like jacked up wacky logos that are happening in all of these ministries, and they're competing for like breathing room with like the main stuff. What I would say is make it consistent across the board, and then give each of those ministries their own unique communication channel, because like there's almost a difference to me about like communicating internally with the people that are part of your group and creating like a unique Facebook page for them, and they can kind of do their own thing. But the main thing is just trying to keep away from the fragmentation of like everybody's got like these completely independent things that they're
silos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like all of these different silos of things that are happening in all of those places. So I mean, the best thing that I would say is it almost seems mean sometimes, like to not mean, but like you have to work at guarding the brand. Because here's the thing. Think about it this way. Everything tends toward chaos. It doesn't tend toward consistency. Isn't that entropy? It all tends toward chaos. And so your brand is the same way. It will end up like fragmenting and turning toward chaos, and everybody starts running in a million places with it. So you just have to work really hard to guard that and across those ministries. I would try to work on a branding guideline. Think through what is this going to mean for all of the ministries, because every church is different, but make a branding guide and then give them that and give them their unique communication channel. So they all have their Facebook page. I can put whatever they want on that, but it's not really connected to the main website, so that it doesn't look like, HSM, blah, 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 high school ministry is doing,
So their unique communication, they should not use the same principles as pointing back to the website, or it still should?
Well, what I'm saying is, because there's a little bit of difference here. Like, you can use Facebook for two different things. One, you could use it for, like, what Amy was talking about, for internal communication. Like, there's, you can create private groups for internal communication. And then what you have is, you know, Facebook posts and things like that that you're using to get outsiders into your thing. You know what I mean? So the main thing for me is just, like, I want to keep it consistent across the board. And on your home base, your main site, when somebody comes in, I don't want them getting bombarded with, like, a whole bunch of different logos. I just want them to see, like, one solid thing, and that there's stuff for their kids in all of these different age ranges. And then if you click through, then you can kind of get the handoff to go over to, you know, whatever planet that they're currently residing on. So, you know, we're just trying to keep it consistent from, like, an initial communication standpoint, if that makes sense. So, any other questions? We got one over here. Yes. Every church is a little bit different because they're on different cities, different churches are in different rhythms. Like ours, we were dealing primarily with, we were the oldest people at the church at the time, and it was mainly, which was horrible. Yeah, it was horrible. It was awful. I would never do that again. But, like, so the rhythm for us was, hands down, it was February and September, because those were when the semesters, you know, that's sort of like, it was on more of a semester thing with the college. So, you know, like, the communities are different. I mean, sometimes, like, you know, Easter, I mean, obviously Easter is, like, kind of is a big time, you know, but what I tend to think is, like, what I've actually seen across the board, I always, like, my business always ramps up, in the summer for September, you know? So we're always, there's these, the cycle of back to school, that's kind of like everybody's do-over, you know? And they're like, that seems to be the time when everyone kind of gets back in gear, and they're like, all right, we're gonna do this right now, we're gonna get back on track. And so September, I think, is to me, I would always key everything for September, because that seems to be the best time when everybody starts. Yeah, nobody would show up. That's so true. Yeah, like, we would, it would be like Easter, and I'd be like dreading going to it, you know, because I'm like, it's going to be me, you, and the kids, you know. There's like 10 of us who are like, man, this is awkward. This is the time that everybody normally goes to church, but no one's here, you know. So, yeah, it really depends on your scenario. So, which is why it's good to create the profile, you know. So, I'll kind of play. Any other questions? Yeah, one more. Yeah. I don't. We just
tied to the website, like you said.
That's the thing. We just kind of market the church. We normally don't do stuff with, like, series and things like that. And, like, I think it's just helpful to just keep pushing one thing, like, so that people are like, they're like, you know, because, like, you start pushing, like, Return of the King, you know, and like, people are getting Return of the King, you know, but instead, like, they're just getting, like, your church, like, then every time you're building sort of that brand consistency, and you're always driving them back to the one thing. And then if they're at one coffee shop, they're like, oh, I heard about that church over, when I went to the bathroom at Panera, I saw the same thing, this is awesome, you know, cool. So that's what I do.
Thank you.
So, oh, yeah, so that's a good.
It wasn't like over years that it was the same.
That's right.
It was just on that campaign.
Yeah, that was like a, that was really good. And it was really cool because in their art department, this was, I was really stoked about this. Their art department, a couple of our original posters that we made, they liked them so much, they put them behind glass cases as examples of, like, good artwork. And we're like, yes! I mean, it was up there for years, like, in the middle. And we're like, score, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. Make it good, you never know what's going to... Yeah, I know. It's like, Return of the King. No! So... Yeah, so make your plan, keep coming back to it, see what's working, what's not, and, you know, I think you'll be set up. So I'll be around for questions. If you want to come up and take a look at this stuff, you can. I think we got a couple minutes before that starting. So thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you.